have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
Property tax done, then the current trajectory, we started last at the beginning of the decade or at the end of last decade with $31 billion flowing in on property tax. Now it's over $60 billion. By 2031, 5 years from now, it's going to be $83 billion. So that will be a 12, 13-year period, $31 to $83 billion. And yes, the state has grown. Yes, you've had inflation, but still, I mean, to have almost a 3X in such a short period of time, I don't think that's sustainable for the long term.
Governor DeSantis, now this was during the press conference that was actually on Monday, but it was, you know, there was a lot in that press conference. The big news was his sudden reversal on flock cameras. And, you know, we talked yesterday about some of the other comments about what he's going to do in a year, or, you know, what he's going to do when he leaves office, which he said, it's none of your business. Kind of an implied buddy. But, you know, now at the end, he's talking about the property tax amendment and saying that, you know, as he has said many times before, he thinks that, you know, local, county, and city spending is out of control. Again, the total amount there growing from 30 to 60 and projected to go to 83. You know, that's an unsustainable path for local spending and therefore for taxation.
People aren't going to be able to pay. They're not going to be able to afford, you know, to purchase new homes. I think that's one of the reasons why the Florida realtors endorsed this. I mean, obviously, the local governments and the people that want the revenue, you know, they're complaining about it. I get it. But the realtors, I think, look at it. If they want to sell a new home to somebody and the tax basis is twice what it would have been even 5 or 6 years ago, that's a lot more money that those people have to come up with to be able to afford to buy the house. So having this pass, that's going to be a huge, really, if that's your primary residence, right? If that's your homestead, you're going to really benefit in a really big way.
Yeah, I mean, one of the costs for affordability of homes is everything that you pay for, including insurance, which is out of control, including, of course, property taxes, which is not good. And, you know, then, of course, all the other things, you know, the interest rate you pay on your mortgage loan. But, okay, if you want to get housing affordability to be a little bit more in the realm, then, you know, maybe reducing people's property taxes by substantial amounts because you've increased the homestead exemption is a way to accomplish that. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a fairly good theory, right?
So I'll be involved.
But remember, the reason I'm playing this is the governor's position had been, here's my almost no background work and debate and process proposition, and take it or leave it, or I'll veto your projects, implied, based on the timing of everything. And then they changed the one thing of getting rid of the school side. It was going to be both school and regular, county and or city and regular. And they got rid of the school side, and they brought it back. And then he said, it's not what I wanted. And I'm not going to support it. And now the question is, well, he sounds like he kind of supports it now. Again, he's reversed himself, which, by the way, I don't mind when politicians change their mind. I don't mind when politicians reverse course. You kind of get stuck between two alternatives. On the one hand, you want to criticize people for not learning and adapting and taking in new information and being persuaded, but then you also criticize them and when they do take in new information and change their mind and get persuaded. I would rather give people permission to change their position, unless you can come up with a reason that explains why they did it for the wrong reasons. But generally speaking, if people want to change their mind, good. I mean, as a, you know, teacher who taught logic, my goal is to get people to not so much to change their mind, but to be willing to change their mind. which an awful lot of people are not willing to change their mind no matter what. And that's why, you know, the process of reasoning with them is kind of pointless because it doesn't accomplish anything. So I don't mind when people change their mind, but the governor had been basically saying that he'd washed his hands of this amendment, that it wasn't what he wanted and he didn't think it was right. So now what's he going to do? Is he going to campaign for it? Is he going to advocate for it? Is he going to be one of the leaders? And he had said already he's not going to be one of the leaders running, the you know, spearheading the movement to pass this property tax referendum.
So I'll be involved somehow. I don't know if it's going to be like barnstorming and holding campaign events. I have other ways where I can kind of get this out and do it. And I think we're going to do it because I think it's important. But it's probably going to look a little bit different than some of the things that I've done in the past.
So it sounds like he is now on board, maybe sort of barely on board, you know, kind of like he's now barely on board with Byron Donalds after the Republican nomination is all in. I mean, what was he going to do, you know? Support David Jolly and endorse him? I mean, come on. And, you know, what was he going to do before? Was he going to abandon his Jay Collins? I mean, you know, there's some practical realities to this stuff. Okay, so what's his reasoning?
I would just say the only sure thing for relief on the ballot will be the Amendment 3 for property tax. That's the only sure thing. Because, you know, people can promise, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, all this other stuff. A lot of that, there's other factors, right? I mean, you know, you can talk about, I know the gas prices. I would love to see those go down. You know, if Iran blows up some oil refineries, you know, this month, next month, that's going to have an impact, right? If there's other things that happen, tax is purely in your hands. You vote for it, you'll pay less. End of story.
Which, of course, Byron Donalds, among others, have said that we want to have a discussion about property taxes, that we're going to do something even if this amendment does not pass. But he's saying, look, you've got a chance to vote on it right now. And if you vote on it, it'll save homeowners money. And if you don't vote to pass it, then who knows what happens. By the way, somebody sent me a one of these, you know, betting marketplaces. I think it was, is it Kelce? I don't really follow a lot of this stuff. But they had it at like 27% chance of passage, which is very low. You know, it's got to get 60%. I think that's how the bet works. They do not think it's going to pass. I think the 27% was, that's the expected percentage, you know, but I'm not into all these betting marketplaces, so I don't feel like I fully understand it. In any case, it was way below, you know, almost like a 3-to-1 ratio of the expectation for it to pass and the against. So question, you know, where am I at on this? And, you know, I don't usually endorse candidates or against candidates, but I do give my opinion about amendments. And my view on amendments is always two parts. Part number one is you've got to force me to believe that it's good to amend the Constitution. I'm a no on every amendment until I'm a yes. The default setting should be no. Don't change the Constitution of the state unless you absolutely have to. And then, you know, second question is, okay, if you think it merits it, if you think it warrants it, then, you know, does this particular one qualify, you know, better to say no to something that's, you know, going to have unintended consequences than to say yes to something, and then you can never get rid of it, because once you put it in the Constitution. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've been very on the fence on this one because I hate property taxes so much as a concept. And because I recognize that most of the things that the governor has been saying are inflated or exaggerated, that all the, you know, this is like all the DOGE nonsense, all of the criticisms of the spending in Pensacola, and including how they spent all this money on this outrageous sign that was actually funded by FDOT. I mean, like, it's just, it's all a mess. It's all a mess. All of this stuff. And, you know, the wild allegations about out of control spending, and, you know, even the things that he said right at the beginning. But I will tell you, if you made me vote today, which today is not the vote, you know, the vote is in, you know, 2 months. But I think if you make me vote today, I vote for it. Now, I'm not done. I continue mulling it and continue thinking about it because where I'm at right now, and I know this is going to really annoy all of my, like, government friends who think that this proposition is crazy. I think the ballot initiative is poorly designed. It's inadequate. It doesn't eliminate property taxes like it should. It doesn't have a replacement in mind. It doesn't address the school board side, which is the far more egregious side, really, even than the county spending. But it, you know, it doesn't do any of that. Okay? But it is something, you know? And I think sometimes when you're a conservative, you just got to get in there and you'd rather have a scalpel, but all we've got is a hatchet, so use the hatchet. That's not a final decision. I'm just telling you where I'm at. If you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know I've been kind of, you know, very on the fence on this, back and forth on whether it's a good thing, and lots of criticism for how it's been done. And I still stand by all that criticism. But at the end of the day, you know, you kind of have to make a decision. I hate these candidates. I didn't vote for that candidate, but these are the finalists. What do I do with the ones who are actually in front of me? I don't want to vote for this one because he's terrible. Can't vote for that one because he's even worse. What do you do? You know, you force me to make decisions between two bad alternatives, and you don't give me the one that I really want to have. And so, well, that's democracy, apparently, or so I've been told. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Frontier Motors has been providing good quality used cars to the Pensacola community for almost 30 years now. And, you know, every single month they sell 150, 200 cars. They got about 300 on the lot, and they turn over about half their inventory a month. And so that means there's a lot of cars. That means every year they're selling somewhere in the vicinity of 2,000 cars. So over 29 years, that's a lot of cars. You know, that's like almost 60,000 cars that they have sold in that time. Think about that. There's 500,000 people in this area. How many cars? And they've sold 60,000 of them. Like, it's a lot of the share of the cars that people have bought in this area. And so, you know, they stand by them. Any of the late model vehicles, they're going to be warranted to 100,000 miles or 10 years. If you go on their lot, they've got a lot of cars, but they may not have exactly what you want, and that's fine. You know, you get close, and if they do have what you want, you could buy it. But if they have something that's similar or not quite exactly what you want, say, hey, I'd like to pay a little bit less. I'll take that with an extra 40,000 miles on it. Or, you know, man, it looks good in yellow, but I had my heart set on green. You know, whatever the case may be. And they go looking for cars for people all the time. So tell them what you're looking for, and they'll go, you know, they'll go shopping for you, basically. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When you're finally off the clock after a long day, dishes put away, kids asleep, feet kicked up, heartburn. Don't let heartburn take over your hard-earned moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Alka-Seltzer effervescent tablets begin neutralizing stomach acid in seconds, so you can get back to your one more episode marathon. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. Use as directed.
Did you know? Economic development is not about slogans. It is about outcomes. Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to recruit and support businesses that generate high-wage jobs, significant capital investment, and long-term tax base growth. That means stronger public services and a more competitive Escambia County without raising taxes. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
If you remember listening to this, and this, and this, then remember this. COVID hasn't gone away. And if you're an adult with conditions like diabetes, asthma, or heart disease, it can cause serious setbacks. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about the latest COVID vaccine. It's one of the best ways to help protect yourself. Find out more at PfizerForAll.com. Pfizer, outdo yesterday.
You're not looking for an argument.
You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I got this sharp pain in my left arm. I wonder what that's about.
Well, I'll tell you this much. It's not from clapping.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And PJ, you and I were talking off the as soon as we got done with that segment, and you had a question. So, and I thought, oh, let's talk about it on the air because it's a good question. Go ahead. You're going to say.
Well, it's actually a two-part question. One is, what influence does the state have over property taxes? And then two, if they do have influence over the property taxes, are they giving up that influence in the future by passing the amendment, and then the locals go crazy and just start jacking up property taxes.
Yeah, it's okay, so it's actually the other way around. And your first question had been what share of the property taxes goes to the state, which I think a lot of people have that question, and the answer is zero. Local property taxes go only to the city or the county or the, you know, ECUA or the ECT or the school board or whatever. So this is purely a local thing. Sales tax is a share between the state and the local, depending on what we've passed. But your question is, how much influence do they have? They don't have any direct influence, but they can, they put limits. Like, I think it's 10 mils is the maximum, which is 1%, because a mil is 1,000th and a percent is 100th. But they have I think it's a local maximum of 10 mils, if I remember correctly. There's also rules about increasing it. So if you vote to increase the millage, you have to have a supermajority vote of 4 out of a 5 board. There, and you have to advertise anything that's not the rollback rate, as a tax increase. I think there are limits about that's sales tax. Yeah. So there's no direct regulation of your local property taxes except for the boundaries of it. Mm. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. As far as their ability to influence things, it's actually the other way around. And here's why. If we don't collect property taxes here, and somehow or other these things have to still get funded, then the premise has been, well, you're going to have to go to the state to ask them for money because the locals will not have enough. And, you know, do you want to be asking Tallahassee for money to fill your potholes? Do you want to be asking Tallahassee for money for your police officers' raises? So instead of being less influence over local politics, it's actually the other way around. A lot of the, you know, local politicians view this as kind of a soft preemption to the state because they're going to have more. You're going to basically have to go beg. Like right now, if you want to do a project, you go and ask the state for pitch-in money, and then you have a local match. Well, if the general fund takes the hit because property taxes go down, you're not even going to have the local match. You're going to have to go beg Tallahassee for kind of all of it, which puts them even more in control than they are right now. Does that make sense?
I guess so. Yeah.
So, this is... I think the question you're asking is this Tallahassee in any way voting to limit their own power? Oh, no. Opposite. This is, okay. If anything, opposite, put it that way. But good question, and that's why I want to talk about it in the air because, you know, if you have it, a lot of people have it. Big news yesterday. Man, you know, things change quickly. I love the line from The West Wing from years and years and years ago, Rob Lowe's character, something or other happened. And his comment was, yeah, we play with live rounds around here. Like, ideas matter and votes matter and decisions matter. And, you know, the governor, who very much, I would say prematurely, said what he said on Monday about flock cameras and then all of a sudden issues this directive on Monday that, you know, through FDOT, that all of the flock cameras and the rights-of-way and state roads were going to go away within 30 days. And then, of course, we talked with Sheriff Simmons yesterday and, you know, we're trying to figure out, does this apply to red light cameras? It does not, by the way. I've got assurances from the actually Gulf Breeze and their lawyer, because I'd asked, you know, Chief Hawthorne and Sam Abel, and their lawyer said, nope, the statute referenced in the order from FDOT is specifically about license plate readers. It is not about red light cameras, which are a different statute. And as I kind of suspected, the technology is different, so the one does not imply the other. So the Gulf Breeze and the city of Pensacola red light cameras will be allowed to stay. They're just not affected by this, is the consensus view. That's the same thing that Police Chief Eric Winstrom had told me. And by the way, he's going to be on the show today at 7:40 because D.C. is out of town, and I want to talk with him about the news, which is that following the FDOT announcement that all of these things would be going away on state roads within 30 days, there had been several counties, sheriffs, I think 4 of them, that had all kind of very quickly said, we're getting rid of our license plate readers, Okaloosa, Duval, Volusia, and maybe Seminole, I forget. And then all of a sudden, in a just wave yesterday, Santa Rosa, we're getting rid of our cameras. Gulf Breeze, we're getting rid of our cameras. Escambia, Chip Simmons, around 11 o'clock yesterday, noon o'clock, something like that, we're getting rid of our cameras. And then shortly thereafter, Eric Winstrom, chief of police for Pensacola, announced it. So the 4, I mean, you know, I still haven't seen anything official from Milton. And I have to double check and see if that's the case. I would imagine they're all going away because, you know, we've had 4 of them for sure go away. And those are the, you know, the major areas in our 2-county zone. So, you know, when we talked with Sheriff Simmons about this yesterday morning, you know, I'll just tell you kind of off the air. I don't think he'd mind me saying, he basically told me, he's like, we are analyzing this. We're doing it quickly. We're trying to figure out what we're doing. And we're still not sure, but I mean, I could pull the plug by 11 o'clock this morning. Well, it was like 11:30, you know? So, you know, I suspected that this would happen. I didn't say anything on the air, so I can't take credit for the prediction, but it was interesting yesterday, basically like bing, 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 all gone. Just all, they turned them all off. And the basic consensus among all of these agencies is not that these aren't useful, is not that we've abused them. It's that they are listening to what people are saying, and some combination of people get to be policed the way they want to be policed, and people clearly do not want to be policed this way. And we need rules. We need clear state rules that give us the parameters. So you've had the incoming Senate President Pro Tem has said yesterday in an interview that they will definitely be taking this up in the spring, which is what I had predicted all along. This would be on the legislative agenda. I did not at all predict that DeSantis was going to suddenly come out and be like, no, get rid of him. Okay. You know, wow, that was not well studied, but here you got what you wanted, which will give us an interesting comparison, because for the next at least 6 to 8 to 12 months, we'll be able to study what happens to crime without these readers.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The jury deadlocked in the Lindsey Clancy murder trial. Fox's Nate Foy tells us what can happen next.
When the judge decides the jury has done a due and thorough deliberation, he could give them a final formal instruction called a Tui Rodriguez charge. If he does that, the jury goes back to deliberate again, but if it still comes back deadlocked, the judge cannot force more deliberation at that point. The only way it can continue is with the jury's consent.
Tropical Depression Edward makes landfall along the Texas-Louisiana border with strong winds and heavy rain.
This was a strong tropical storm. If it had more opportunity over the warm water of the Gulf, this easily could have been a Category 1 hurricane. Peak wind gusts in Port Arthur still being confirmed, came in at 90 miles per hour.
That's Fox Weather's Britta Merwin. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, and we've got 77 degrees right now. Mostly clear skies at the moment. We'll get a look at our forecast from Channel 3 up in just a couple of minutes. President Trump has nominated Acting Navy Secretary Hung Chau to become the permanent secretary of the Navy. Chau served in the acting role since former Secretary John Phelan abruptly left in April. Trump is urging the Senate to confirm Chau quickly. He's a retired Navy captain who previously ran unsuccessfully for Congress and Senate in Virginia. He has recently drawn attention for meeting with families of sailors aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln. A 40-year-old diver was injured in a shark attack on roughly 30 nautical miles offshore of Pensacola. That happened Tuesday afternoon. The Coast Guard responded, meeting the boat about 5.5 miles south of Pensacola Pass, transferring the injured diver who'd lost blood. Response to a boat with a response boat with EMTs aboard. He was then flown by helicopter from NAS Pensacola to Sacred Heart Hospital. Well, a 13-year-old Crestview boy has now been arrested after threatening TikTok post that was targeting Crestview High, Davidson Middle, and Pine View School. Deputies say the case follows a similar arrest days earlier involving a 12-year-old girl. Both appear tied to a viral TikTok trend, making mass shooting hoax threats. Deputies were tipped off through Fortify Florida, and the teen reportedly confessed when confronted. He faces three counts of making a written threat to conduct a mass shooting and one count of using a communication device to facilitate a felony. Well, some good news. News Radio's sister station, Cat Country 98.7, and the Cat Pack Morning Show have been nominated now for some national CMA awards, recognizing Radio Station of the Year and Broadcast Personality of the Year, just one of five stations and shows nationwide up for each of those honors. Station owner Mary Hoxing says she's proud of the whole Cat Country team. Program director Brent Lane calls those nominations a reflection on the station's listeners and community partners. Big congratulations there. Centuries Town Council has approved a revised zero-interest payment agreement with FDOT. covering more than $500,000 in utility relocation costs tied to Highway 29 work. The town had to move water, sewer, and natural gas lines at its own expense during the state project. Under the new terms, Century will repay the remaining balance through 13 annual payments starting in 2028 with no interest or prepayment penalties. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We are going to be dealing with a 40% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 92 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 60% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Heading into Friday, 50% chance of rain, high near 91 degrees. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from your First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 77 degrees right now. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Contract negotiations between U.S. Steel and the United Steelworkers Union will continue after both agreed to a 30-day extension of a four-year contract that expired yesterday. The negotiations are the first since U.S. Steel was acquired by Nippon Steel in a $15 billion deal completed last year. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro said on CNBC that too many data center developers don't care about the communities where they are building. The governor, who is considered a potential contender for the 2028 Democratic presidential nomination, signed an executive order last month aimed at controlling data center development. You may have noticed that neighborhood mail trucks look a little different, with stubby, low-to-the-ground designs and massive windshields. TribLive.com reports that the cars are among more than 100,000 new vehicles that the Postal Service is introducing nationwide. Officials say some are gas-powered, while others are electric. Futures are lower this morning as tensions escalate in the Middle East. That's Your Money Now.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thank you, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all, no duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Making a few small changes to how you use energy in your home can make a big difference. Like setting your AC. Every degree you raise it can save you up to 5% on cooling costs. With the FPL Energy Manager, you can easily monitor how much energy you're using, see which appliances use the most, and how it affects your bill. Keep more money in your pocket by making your home more energy efficient. Learn more at fpl.com/ways to save.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to The Fish House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing ABC at The Fish House, featuring Good Boy Vodka ready-to-drink cocktails, Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Jazz at Jackson's with Ellen Vinson, Fall Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, and celebrate Thanksgiving with Great Southern, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Well, I've been on the record as saying that what we don't want in the state of Florida is to have a digital AI surveillance state where everything we're doing is being tracked at all times. But I will tell you, if we had all this around the country when COVID happened, you absolutely would have saw those turned on people who were outside of lockdown orders in California that were, you didn't take your vax, you can't go here, you can't travel.
You know, we've been talking about this all day because it is the big story in Florida right now. Governor DeSantis yesterday, through the Department of Transportation, issued a rescission, essentially. They pulled back their permission to have flock-style license plate readers on all the public right-of-ways in state roads, which is the majority of where traffic goes, which is why that's where local sheriffs have placed these cameras. It's a huge announcement. They have up to 30 days for it. I have been talking this morning also about the question of whether this applies to red light cameras. I've checked with a couple of people, and the temporary answer is they don't think it applies to them because it's more the license plate readers only specifically. But obviously, this is big news, and we want to see what our local law enforcement thinks about it. Joining us now, we have Chip Simmons, our Escambia County Sheriff. Chip, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I know this conversation will take up our whole conversation, so let's start with the crimes and incidents first, and then we'll get to this because I want to make sure that we have enough time for that. We had a shooting yesterday on Pine Forest Road. What happened here?
Well, we get a call. We get two calls, actually. One from an apartment on Pine Forest Road and one on the Oyo Hotel on Pensacola Boulevard. So the Pine Forest Road apartment, we made contact with the people there, and we made forced entry because we felt like there was an individual that had been shot. Sure enough, there was an individual that was shot and killed at his Pine Forest Road apartment. And sure enough, the call at the Oyo Hotel on Pensacola Boulevard, we contacted Ashanti Brown, and she was there, and she said, I did it in self-defense. Well, we did a pretty thorough investigation and found that the evidence did not support a self-defense claim, and we ended up charging her with second-degree murder. So bottom line is they were engaged in some sort of an argument at the apartment, it appears, and she shot and killed him. And then, oh, by the way, she took the doorbell camera and then her phone, and we found that discarded in a ditch over in Santa Rosa County. That doesn't help your self-defense claim when you remove evidence of that. Like that.
Because presumably if the evidence exonerated you, you'd love to have cops looking at it.
A reasonable person would think that, let's look at this. This is what happened.
Have you had a chance yet to actually look at the phone or the data card to know whether it contains incriminating or no?
Not yet. We obviously took in evidence and we're
okay. So she's been detained pending the investigation.
She's been arrested. Yeah.
Yeah. And those charges could be upgraded depending on what you find in subsequent investigation.
Right now,
second degree.
But yeah, it could use a bit. I mean, it would have to be a plan thing, an ambush type thing to upgrade it too much.
By the way, quick work to find that stuff in Santa Rosa County. Discarded some.
Our guys don't play.
Yeah, that's.
They do a good job, a good and thorough job.
We had a man shot in the Villages. What happened here? So this is on Blue Angel?
Yeah, the Village is at Southern Oaks Apartments located on Blue Angel Parkway. We got called last night for a 27-year-old male that said that he had been shot in the right calf. He said it would happen somewhere around Wedgwood, but he would not say where, and he refused to talk about the incident. So I assume he shot himself.
Okay.
That's why else wouldn't you tell us what's going on?
All right. So you assume he shot himself in the wrong calf. I'm sorry. I could... we'll move on. We've had some vape shop burglaries. Is that right?
We did. Over the last couple of weeks, we had, I think, five total burglaries up around the Nine Mile Road area on some vape shops. And, again, our guys did a really good job of investigating it. And, ultimately, we were able to determine there's three individuals. I don't have their names with me right now, but we ended up arresting yesterday just before I left. And we ended up charging them with the five burglaries of those vape shops.
This is different from the city of Pensacola arrest for the people who had broken into the marijuana shops and stolen medical marijuana, though, right? This is not connected?
Yeah, no. This seems to be a recent trend where people are trying to break into vape shops and or marijuana dispensaries.
Thinking they have goods, thinking they have something worth stealing.
Well, the thought there is that, you know, money and drugs, I guess you're in for a night.
Yeah,
for
okay.
A night.
All right. You're in for a night. You make me laugh. Also, I don't know anything about this. I don't have kids of school age, the right sort, and the one who's still in high school is, you know, homeschooled anyway. The Cat in the Hat meme with the schools, and what is this? People are posting images of the Cat in the Hat lurking, kind of like the clown in the woods kind of thing. I don't I now have said everything I think I know. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know much more than that, except for whenever this image is presented, it's some sort of a threat, a school threat, is what it's taken as. We had that here in Escambia County Schools. Fortunately, nothing happened yesterday. We were aware of it. I want to say it happened. I know it happened in Okaloosa County, and it may well have happened in Santa Rosa County as well, which means it probably happened throughout the country. These things don't typically happen in a vacuum. So what it means is that there's a threat to shoot up a school or to damage to individuals at a school. And again, we take all these things serious, as silly as they may sound, because ultimately someone may take them serious. And again, we have to be aware of that.
And also a note for kids and parents alike that the kid may not be intending it as a threat, thinking it's just some cute, funny, goofy thing, not quite understanding the significance. And we want them to know, do this, because this is what it actually can be interpreted as meaning. So,
And what you do is you cause all this uproar. You got law enforcement presence, you have increased security, you have people knocking on parents' doors, and you have all these things. So I agree with you. That's a good point, is to tell your kids, don't just arbitrarily
do weird stuff. Don't do weird stuff online. Stuff. Yeah, or maybe just don't have social media. You and I have talked extensively about the flock cameras. I know you're a big advocate. And I don't disagree with you that they're a major law enforcement tool. Of course, as you know, I've recently I'm a 55-45 on this. I hate losing the law enforcement capability. I do, because I see the value that it has. I have real serious concerns about government surveillance. Well, now the governor has come out and, as you well know, said you got to pull these poles out of every state road right away, which is all of the major route. I mean, the bulk of traffic goes on these roads. So first question, what are you guys doing as a result of this order that came down from FDOT yesterday?
You know, we've been talking about this for months, and specifically last couple of weeks, about the balance between privacy and crime prevention and public safety.
Of course.
And not just you and I.
Yeah.
We've been talking
about
it. All the county sheriff's office. I was in Tallahassee last week in a meeting, and we were talking specifically about Amendment 3 and license plate readers. And we're evaluating. We're continuing to evaluate it. I will tell you that the governor's decision to remove them from state roadways has a pretty severe impact on our program and our network itself. Probably a third of our cameras were on state roadways. So.
Only a third. I was thinking the number would be higher. Only a third. Okay.
No, we have a lot on county right-of-ways and some in public, private locations.
Mm-hmm.
But about a third of ours, maybe a little over a third of our cameras are on the state roadway. So that's going to severely impact our network. The networks are only as good as they are when they're complete and you're committed to that technology. So
sure.
I've heard and I've talked to many people about their concerns. You're one of the people that I take opinions from and measure.
I appreciate that.
And there's that measure on how much is too much and what are their appropriate safeguards with regards to the program itself. We've been doing a lot of education. You know, our cameras don't have facial recognition. We have double verification, so there's no misread of a tag.
Double verification.
So that if we get an alert and we see a car and we get alert and the deputy is required to look at that tag and verify that tag is the one that's on the alert.
Okay.
So there's no.
Okay. So two cameras, but that there's a second check to make sure the alert
human check as well as
the
camera check. And we have done a lot of that. We have had these safeguards in place at the sheriff's office for a long time. But I understand not every agency has had these same safeguards. We talked a lot about the audits, so I won't get into too much of the audits except to say that we continually do it, and we have continuous AI audits, or we had them as well. So, again, the bottom line here is that we're taking this information. Things seem to change every day nowadays. So we're evaluating whether we should do what some sheriff's offices have done throughout the state and put a pause.
Duval and Okaloosa, I think most notably, have said they're going to get them out of the county roads too, right?
Duval, right. Volusia has. Seminole County did last night.
Okay.
And the Florida Sheriff's Association has been talking to the legislative leadership, and they've been working on getting some legislation passed that would a comfort level, if you will,
right,
regarding the regulations and the guidelines.
Access, storage of data, duration, all of these things, right?
And as the sheriff of Escambia County, I want to make sure that our citizens are comfortable with what we do, right? So I want to, I have been asking almost everyone when I come in contact, what do you think about this? What do you think about it? There is a value, a great value to law enforcement. Again, but how much is too much, and what comfort level would you have? Like, I guess I don't want to put you on the spot, Andrew, but what, is there any comfort level with regards to the rules and regulations and safeguards and guidelines that would make you comfortable with the system itself?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I definitely don't like the keeping of the data. Mm-hmm. I don't like the infrastructure. I honestly, I just don't like the infrastructure existing.
Right.
But I hate the loss of crime-fighting capability. I do. I don't want to. I wouldn't want to be the cop that, you know, as you know, one of my kids is wanting to be a cop. And I wouldn't want him to have to show up at somebody's door and say, you know, we couldn't find your daughter because, you know, the people were too worried about totalitarianism. I mean, that's...
Yeah, if this was last month, we had the technology, we could have potentially right. helped, but we can't do it now.
Right. And, I think this is a conversation we need to have. I've said I'm 55%. I used to be 40%. Now I'm 55. I'm like, ugh, I hate it because of that exact reason. And it's not you guys, as you know. I mean, I know that you and Chief Winstrom and Sheriff Johnson are going to do right by this. But, you know, should we be tracking everybody everywhere? That's really the question to me.
Well, as long as people understand what the program
the cost,
does.
Yeah, and I think where
the guidelines are already existing.
Yep.
I foresee some sort of legislation that would say, oh, you can't do it, you'll get in trouble. And we'll be like, no kidding. You know, we've been doing
which
that.
Which is already true.
That sort of thing. So I think to me the balance is privacy versus safety. And that's been a balance for 200 plus years, right? I would be comfortable. I'm the sheriff of Escambia County, but I don't run the state, right? So the governor decides he don't want them on state roadways. Then we'll adapt and we'll continue to do our crime fighting here locally.
Would you tell me, because you know the technology, and I still have a lot of questions I want to get to, but I hope we get to them. Is it feasible to run the software in the following way? This tag number has been identified as a tag of interest. And any tag that does not meet that list, kind of like the no-fly list and no-drive list, any tag that doesn't meet that list is immediately deleted from the system. So you're not creating a surveillance database. You're literally only creating a permissive database where identified approved tags are even kept anywhere. Would it be possible to write it that way?
I would think it would be, but here's how effective would it be?
If we get to a robbery and
find out this car did this.
Agreed.
And, but we don't know how they got there because it was immediately deleted.
Yep.
Because we didn't have the tag.
No, this wouldn't allow any retroactivity. Home, right.
Right.
This,
so it really, I don't know that that's practical. It won't do us any good again, but
it would be, some
like the retention
good.
Issue where I think Flock went to 7-day retention. We currently have a 30-day retention, whereas it's obviously overridden.
Yeah.
So I can live with whatever safeguards ultimately.
Sure.
You
policed before there were LPRs.
Or, yeah, I can live with that, and we can, and we'll continue to be a fantastic professional law enforcement agency, regardless of what we ultimately do with these license plate readers.
You still have them on county roads. What is your intention right now?
Well, my intention now is to continue with this evaluation that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks with this new information that the state has pulled them. And I have to evaluate whether the network as it stands is still, you know, because there's still that balance. Is it worth it when our system is not as effective as it was before? Because
without
the states, it's not as effective. It's again, 30-40% less effective than what it was before. And I was going back and forth, quite frankly, on it before. So now I have to decide, is it at a less effective rate, is it still worth the entire system? Or should I put a pause on ours, just like others have done, and wait and see what the resolution is, either in legislative conclusion or judicial review or guideline, whatever comes about.
Are you are the cameras still active at the moment? Are you deciding what, because you only have 30 days, but you could, you know, turn off the cameras, or you could turn off those cameras, if not all of them, right now if you wanted to, but they're still active right now?
What we did yesterday is when we got the notice, we notified the Flock and the companies that handles these license plate readers and told, because they're their cameras.
Yep.
And they place those cameras for us, but they place those cameras. And so we notified them, hey, you got 30 days. It wasn't the first time, I'm sure, they were notified of that. So so now they got 30 days to get those cameras out.
Okay.
We have not flipped the switch yet because we have 30 days to do so. And if I have a crime today and we have a use of a license plate reader, we're going to use it. But again, we're going to continue to evaluate that. And we should have a decision, first of all, internally. And then secondly, we should have a decision statewide here in, I'd say, a couple of days.
And then they still have the license plate readers in the cars. Right? Those are allowed. That's not been affected by this at all yet?
That's correct. But that's part of the evaluation.
Sure.
We're pulling the ones from the state. Do we pull the ones from the county or the existing fixed positions that we have now?
Private roads, ones on the trailers, right. All of these
and
things.
And then we have some other ones that are on our cruiser cars. Yep. And my thought there is that if we're going to do one, we're either going to do it or we're not. So my decision is going to be based upon, at this point, is going to be based upon let's go full-fledged into the license plate reader system or let's not and do a full pause until there's some clarification.
And just to be clear to make sure people who are tuning in, your position, I would summarize as this. You think the Flock license plate reader system is incredibly useful as a law enforcement tool, but at the same time, you are an elected law enforcement officer who will ultimately serve the will of the people. And if the people don't want to be policed this way, then the people don't want to be policed this way. Is that fair?
That's absolutely. Again, that's that balance. Yep. That's the conversations that we've had over the last couple of months on that value versus the privacy issue.
Very good. We're completely out of time. I do want to give a shout to Whitney Lucas, your chief of staff, who has gotten an award, been recognized as one of the key women chiefs of staff for 2026. So Whitney's fantastic. I know she does a lot for you and for the foundation, and kudos to her. Sheriff, I always appreciate you so much, especially for taking time today and talking about this. And I value our relationship and the information and, you know, frankly, the great policing that you do for this county. Crime is down, and I appreciate that, too.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Well, obviously, since that conversation yesterday, things have rapidly changed. But you heard him even say that, you know, they were considering it. They were already going back and forth on it internally. And obviously, with the moves made by the governor and then first by Santa Rosa and, Gulf Breeze. And then, you know, they got rid of these cameras. And he asked me, I thought it was a great question. I did not have a good answer for him, which was, what would you like to see? Here are some of the parameters I think would make sense. One would be, you know, warrants. You could require warrants before you query the database. Another one is, I think, a real quick expiration on keeping. I think you, if you're going to have the camera system at all, if it's going to be useful for, like, Amber Alerts, okay, and, you know, felonies and shootings, I don't think it should be used probably for misdemeanors. But, you know, you should set aside which crimes you should use it for or could use it for. But then also that, you know, the information would only be kept for, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours, if you're not on the, you know, known wanted license plate list. Because we do want to be able to, you know, like I said, you know, catch a kidnapping. But how long does that need to be in the database? Certainly not 7 or 30 days. You know, how short? So I'd be open to that conversation. But, you know, we're going to have it in the legislature in the spring. So I really appreciate the sheriff on all this. Hey, if you are 64 turning 65, you're going to convert over onto Medicare from traditional insurance. Ricky Stewart is the person you want to call. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's really good at this. Her whole family does insurance. She just does this one part. She helps people understand Medicare and Medicaid, okay, if you need to understand and you're like, what's the difference? Well, good question. Ask her. She'll explain. It's pretty simple, but if you don't know, you don't know. What's Advantage? What's Supplement? What about prescription drugs? All of those things. And one of the key things is once you do get the conversion done, she's still there for you. She is a person that you can call and ask your questions of, and she's fantastic. You can go to MedicarePensacola.com, click Schedule Now for an appointment, or Insured by Ricky, RSEKI.com, or call her at 341-2185.
Woo! Summer's heating up, and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot, and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new Cherry Cola Pork Burnt Ends, some brisket mac and cheese, or Slider Trio? And finish your meal off with some Cherry Cobbler Egg Rolls. Mmm. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's Barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
One of my favorite moments is when a business owner sees our ADX Digital Toolbox and they sit back in their chair and they have this look of surprise on their face and they say, I had no idea you guys did all of this. We have 19 ways to deliver your message to your specific audience inside your geographic footprint with reporting that proves its effectiveness, all for less than you might expect.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday, beginning at 5:30, enjoy the celebration of local art in downtown Pensacola during First Friday's Art Walk. Explore local art galleries, live music, refreshments, while supporting and celebrating local artists. See visitpensacola.com for more. Check out the end of summer finds at the Palafox Market, Saturdays from 9 till 2. Experience why Palafox Market was named Best Farmers Market by Southern Living Magazine. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Well, I do not know who you really are, but by the way you look, I can see you have no experience in war, do you? Come on, do you?
I've fired a few shots.
I'm probably going to regret this, but it was funny. All the name change kinds of things that are rolling around, you know, you've seen like Canadian geese are going to be called Donald Ducks. You know, President, this is fake. This didn't actually happen. But President Trump is going to rename Niagara Falls as Joe Biden Falls. I don't know. Made me laugh. So hope it made you laugh, too. 437-1620 or Moon of America, because we walked on it first.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.